Series Overlooking the River at Harbor Park in Middletown every Tuesday at 7 p.m. through September 1st. The rain location is South Church.
Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. You're listening to WESU Middletown. Hello. Today I'll be talking to Netta Wattels about the importance of animals, their roles, function, and purpose in our lives. Netta is a world-renowned animal communicator, master of multidimensional healing, lightworker, healer, and teacher. Having communicated telepathically with animals since a small child, Netta became a professional animal communicator in 1994. Since then, she has successfully assisted thousands of animals and their human companions. Her teleclasses in animal communication are attended by students from all over the world. In addition to animal communication and healing sessions for animals, Netta offers services for her human clients, including Akashic Record consultations, tarot card readings, and preparation for surgery healings. Her website, raysofhealinglight.com, offers many articles and recordings about animal communication. Welcome, Netta.
Hello, Sima. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. I love to talk about animals and people and communicating with them.
And I love hearing about it. So tell me a little bit about your story. When did you become interested in working with animals? And tell me a little bit about your earliest experiences.
I've been communicating with animals since I was a little kid, and I didn't think it was anything special at the time. I could just always feel what they were feeling. We had cats and dogs and chickens when we were kids. And, of course, my parents had the chickens to sell eggs, but we all thought of them as pets. So what would happen would be that I would be interacting with one of the animals, and I would kind of know what they were feeling. And that was the main thing that I can recall about it, although there were some pretty clear communications, too. There was one cat named Silver who was actually belonged to one of my sisters. In those days, nobody spayed or neutered anybody. This was a long time ago. And so we lived in the country, and the cats would get pregnant and have babies. And Silver was kind of the dominant one in the group that we had, and she would take care of everybody. Most of the time, her litters were small, but one time she had five babies. She would come to us, my sister and me, and ask us to make her a bed before she gave birth. We just knew this, that this is what she was asking for. So we'd get her a nice box and some clean rags. She'd give birth. This time, when we went to change the bedding after the babies were all born and cleaned up, I noticed that she was counting them. Five was a lot. And as we took them out of the box and placed them in my sister's lap, she was right there supervising us. And as we put them back into the box with the clean bedding, she was counting. One, two, three, four, five. It never occurred to me before animals could count, but she could. So that was one of the earliest experiences where I can clearly remember specific message. Although I knew from my animals if they were happy, if they were sad. I had one cat myself named Tiger, very original, right? He was an orange tiger.
That was original. How many tigers have there been since then?
Well, I don't know. I think there's quite a few out there in the world, and little kids are naming them. But in any event, I thought he looked like Winston Churchill. At the time, he was sort of a hero, Winston Churchill was, to my family in the 50s. And he was very wise, and he would lie on my bed when I would do my homework, and it always felt like he was helping me do my homework. So that's about when I was little. But as I became an adult and I finally got my first horse, which I had always wanted, I had an amazing experience with Echo, who was an Arabian mare.
So I want to stop you just before you move forward. So how old were you as a child when you really began to recognize that you have this gift? And then the second question is, did you ever either doubt it or fear it?
Well, Well, I wasn't even conscious that it was a gift. It was natural to me. I was always communicating with animals. When I would tell my parents about it, their attitude was pat, pat on the head. You're just imagining this, dear. So I kept on imagining. I mean, the good news was I didn't get a lot of the severe negativity that a lot of little kids get. Nobody ever teased me about it. Nobody ever said it was stupid or crazy. They just said, oh, it's just your imagination, and dismissed it. So I just kept imagining. I mean, that's the way I thought about it.
And did you ever share with anyone? Did you tell your friends?
No, I don't think I talked. I don't remember. This was a long time ago, Sima.
Okay.
But I didn't know how long. It was a while ago. But the thing of it is, when at some point when I became an adult, I realized I had compartmentalized. I had this part of my life when I was with animals where I was always in conversation with them. And then there was the rest of the time when I was doing the official left-brained thing, going to school, learning stuff, being analytical, logical, the way everybody is trained to be in our society. It didn't become really clear until I read a book. Now, I was an adult by this time, by Penelope Smith, who is very well known in the field of animal communication. She's like one of the pioneers. And her book was called Animal Talk. A friend of mine who's a veterinarian was learning alternative veterinary medicine, acupuncture, chiropractic. And she came back from a course, and she came to see Echo, my horse. And she brought this book with her. She picked up on one of the tables during the break times. And it was by Penelope Smith. It was called Animal Talk. Little thin paperback, still in publication, available. Little how-to book. And I thought I was going to teach myself how to. I took the book home. My friend said, I don't have time to read this now. You want to read it? Yep. I took the book home. I sat down on my sofa. And like the good student that I had become, I went through carefully, step by step. And I read the first thing you have to do is have this basic attitude and belief. I have that. And then the next thing you do is this. Okay, I've already done that. And the next thing is you've got to learn to meditate and quiet your mind. I've been doing that for years. And I went through all the steps that way. When I got to, I guess there are seven of them or something, I get to the end, and I'm really shocked. Because what I had discovered was I've been doing this my whole life. It was as though somebody took down the wall between the compartments in my head, in terms of the way I thought about it, and said, yep, you're doing this. Now, I still didn't realize that you didn't have to be physically present, even though I'd already had a lot of experiences with Echo, where she was at the barn and I was somewhere else, and I could feel something was going on that needed attention from me with her. Either she wasn't feeling well or whatever. But I still thought I had to be at the barn. So I immediately jumped in the car, drove to the barn, and went in to see her and apologized. Oh, my God, this is absolutely real, and I've been treating you like some kind of dumb animal. She was an Arabian. There was nothing dumb about this horse. And I felt really guilty. So I'm apologizing all over the place to my horse. And I hear her response, and that was like the next big explosion inside me. Because she said to me, you take care of me, and I take care of you.
Lovely.
And I went, oh, my God. And that wasn't anything I was ever going to say to myself. My ego wasn't going to come up with that. And
sure.
And that was the second powerful message that I got. So this broke all the doors open wide. And then because I used to do the barn chores in the morning. I took care of 16 horses, cleaned stalls, fed, turned out, brought in, all that stuff. I knew all the other horses there. It was a boarding stable. And I started really consciously having conversations with them. And sometimes funny things would happen. There was one gal had this big, beautiful Palomino quarter horse. And she had him on the cross ties one day, and she's grooming him, and I'm cleaning a stall. This was on a weekend. And she's going on about, oh, he's such a big dummy, he's so stupid, but I love him anyway. And I started to say, you know, there's nothing stupid about your horse. And I hear him go, shut up. Don't tell her. I don't want her to know. She'll make me work hard. And so I stopped in mid-sentence, and I started choking with laughter. And she's going, what do you say? What do you say?
That's hysterical.
I mean, I don't know if she believed I was really communicating or not. Because this was what I was just beginning to tell people. I could do this. And a lot of folks were poo-pooing and pulling my leg and all that. But I couldn't tell her because I had a respect that he had a feeling and opinion he didn't want her to know.
We're talking today to Netta Wittels. She's a world-renowned animal communicator. And we're talking about the importance of animals, their roles, function, and purpose in our lives. So you call yourself an animal communicator. Is that a term you came up with? Because people might call you a pet psychic. So is there a difference between the two? And how do you operate with your clients, with people who would like to avail themselves of your services?
This is a many-part question, so let me try to take it a piece at a time. The term animal communicator, I got that from Penelope. And I believe that was the term that she was using. I never thought about myself as being a psychic. When I started doing this professionally, people would say, are you a pet psychic? And my answer always was no. And this is the reason why. When I started doing this professionally, this was at a time when I was very consciously intending to be aligned with higher guidance. So I had asked for higher guidance, you know, what's my mission? Why am I doing this for other people? What am I supposed to, you know, what's my soul mission? What's my purpose? And the message I got was that my mission really is to teach. What is it that people need to learn about animals? Well, they're not like tarot cards. They're not something you read. When people think of the word psychic, they think of a reading. And people do still call me up and ask for a reading. But animals are sentient, sapient beings.
What does that mean? Okay. The general public won't understand that term.
Yeah, I know. But I say it that way anyway because I think it's important. Sentience is the ability to feel. We've all been told that emotions belong to humans. And you know, this is the official position is that animals don't have feelings. Now, anybody who has an animal knows that they can be sad, they can be angry, they can have a lot of emotion. But the official scientific position is that they don't. So that's what sentience is. Sapience has to do with intelligence. Now, there's a lot of evidence today that there are many species that are doing things that indicate high-level intelligence, like making, you know, there are birds that make tools. There are, like, monkeys and, you know, different species, some of which make tools. And there are even, you know, birds build houses. So a lot of the attempts scientifically to separate humans from animals is always a goal to say that humans are somehow higher up on the scale of the hierarchy and animals are lesser, and therefore we're higher because we can do this, this, and this, and this, and they can't. And a lot of that is collapsed. But anyone who can figure out how to survive, who has opinions about things, who can share their thoughts and feelings in a conversation, is not an object. They are consciousness. And so I call myself an animal communicator because I'm having a conversation, just like you and I are talking now. And that's what one of the things I want people who come to me for my help to start knowing, that they can also have conversations with their animals. They may not be able to hear everything the animal is saying, but animal communication is an expansion of intuition. We all have intuition. It may not be something that we've learned to call upon when we want it, but we can learn to call upon it when we want it. And that's why I can teach classes in animal communication.
I do want to ask the next question, which is, why did you choose to work with animals as opposed to humans? But I also want to ask you, does your ability stretch to the point where if you're walking down a street and somebody walks by with a dog, or you're in someone's house and they have pets, are you always on? Is your transmitter always recognizing their thought patterns and their feelings? Or can you turn this off so that you only address it when you're doing your job?
I think for me personally, I can turn it on and off. In other words, I don't have to be inundated with a flood of stuff coming in. Because humans are all telepathic too, and one could really drown. That's something I think I learned when I was very young. I think my mother was very telepathic, and I had to keep her out. This is something I sort of figured out in retrospect. But there are people who've come to me and say, you know, everywhere I go, I just am flooded. And I don't know what to do about that. And I've tried to help them learn to create boundaries for themselves. But I want to get back to the second part of the question you asked previously, if I may, about how I do my sessions.
Yes.
Because having said that, I want people to understand that this is a conversation with another being who is equal to a human in terms of their feelings and their thoughts, although they're different. The way I do my sessions is kind of the way we're doing this call, which is I'm on the phone with the human, and I'm telepathically connected with the animal. The animal can be anywhere on the planet. I haven't experimented yet with off-planet, but who knows? It could be anywhere in the universe. One needs to be open to possibilities. And so it's kind of like being at the United Nations. If you've ever seen a film of what goes on at the UN, you have people there who speak many different languages, and somebody is in the front of the room at the podium speaking. And anyone who doesn't speak that language can put on a headset and get a translation that's live and simultaneous to the speaker.
That's a wonderful analogy.
So that's what I do.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
And it's just so amazing for people who have never had this experience before to get on the phone with me and to have me talking to their animal while I'm talking to them, because I'm describing to the human everything I'm experiencing. I'm asking questions of the animal. They can hear all of that. My mouth just goes and goes. But I'm simultaneously sending and receiving with the animal. And I just think that's the best thing, because if there's anything to be negotiated, worked out between them, I mean, most of the time people call me because there's a problem that needs to be solved or a situation that needs to be addressed, and everybody is there to participate. It's not like I have to go, okay, first I'll talk to you and I'll write everything down and then I'll go talk to somebody else. It's all happening. So we can come to the end of a call and have a plan of action. This is what the human is going to do. This is what the animal has agreed to do, hopefully. Hopefully everybody's going to do what they agreed to do. But so we have steps that can be taken to work towards creating a win-win for everybody.
Are there any times when you get information you choose not to pass along?
Yes.
What would be some of the reasons for that?
One would be if the animal asked me to keep the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started out doing this, there were certain things I was uncomfortable or unsure about saying to the person on the phone with me. For example, if the animal started talking about reincarnation, does that mean that the human is open to reincarnation?
Right.
And when I first started, I think many more people today in the United States and around the world believe in reincarnation.
Sure.
But then Penelope Smith had always said, you know, if the animal talks to you about something like that, they're trying to get their person open to it, or they know it's okay to say it. Still in all, I have sometimes had my higher guidance come in and say things, and I'm like, how can I say that to this person?
Sure.
What I've learned is that anything I don't say during the session is probably the most important thing I could have said.
Yeah.
So consequently, I hold very little back now. Unless the animal says to me, I'm telling you this in confidence, and I do not want it repeated.
Break the
I have to honor this. Otherwise, why would the animals ever trust me?
Sure. So why did you choose to work with animals as opposed to humans? And maybe the question would be better served by, why do you think that you were called to be an animal communicator rather than have a resonance about doing the same work with just humans?
Well, you can't do the same work quite this way with just humans. See, the whole first of all, I don't feel I'm working just with animals. I'm working with humans too, because I have the human on the phone, the animal. My job is to help them communicate. What I'm doing, when I said earlier I'm teaching, through that process, I'm helping those people begin to make a deeper level connection with someone who is not in a human body, because we're all spirit in physical form. Some of those forms have multiple legs and wings and gills and tails that you can see externally, and some are in a human form. That's how I look at it. I think I was called to this because this is what my soul wanted to do, because I believe that we have purposes that come from before we incarnate. And this is something that is joyful for me to do, meaningful, empowering other people I mean, sometimes what I'm doing is I'm helping people understand, okay, this is your animal's perspective on the health issue that you're concerned about. And your animal, when you go to the veterinarian, doesn't understand what the vet's talking about, because the vets lots of times don't take time to explain even to the human. And so sometimes what I do with my clients is I suggest, here are questions you can ask the vet while you're right there with your animal right there. Even if you know the answer to them, this will help your animal understand what's going on. And, you know, for most people and most animals, if you understand what's going on, it reduces anxiety and fear. And then afterward, you and I, or you directly with your animal, can talk about the choices, the options.
I live my life in a way that would probably resonate with you. And yet, the simplicity of the message you're giving today is another reminder about how there are signs all around us that we choose or overlook in guiding us through our life journey. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. The one thing about people is that they're disconnected from nature. They have lost their connection. They're not grounded. They don't spend time in nature. They spend time texting and doing other things with machines. They have lost their connection with themselves and with the world that they are a part of. You cannot live on this planet without being a part of nature.
Yep.
All right? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a very spiritual thing. I mean, from my perspective, there's nothing that isn't spiritual. But for now, the most important thing, I think, for humanity, well, I shouldn't say the most important, one of the very important things, is to reconnect, not just with other humans, but with the natural world. We're not whole when we're not connected, and we're not going to be connected with ourselves when we're not connected.
Sure.
And animals are in our lives to help us reconnect. And so part of what I do is help people connect at a whole new level with their own animals.
So do different animals serve different purposes? And,
well, that's true on an individual level as well as on a species level.
So how would that look? And also, is there a hierarchy? What animal would serve the greatest purpose on Earth or in our lives? Does it work like that?
I'm moving away from the hierarchical way of thinking about things because I find that it creates a lot of false understanding. Every species on the planet has its niche, has its purpose, its role, both in terms of physicality and in terms of spirituality. And you take any species out, and you've created a hole that has to be compensated for. And, of course, we're losing a lot of species now on the planet, and the whole ecosystem is in uproar.
I was thinking that while you were talking.
As I say that, I mean, I can say with a visceral sense in my body of truth that there are some species that have really large-scale purposes. The whale song, which travels for hundreds and hundreds of miles under the ocean, is at least in part designed to maintain balance in the tectonic plate. On land, the elephants have had a similar role with some of their really deep sounds that are way lower than human hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a friend of mine who had started out as a student of mine in animal communication, one day writing me a letter and saying that this particular spring she was outside in her garden listening to the birds one day just before the trees had started to even put out buds. And she got the clear knowing that the bird's song is what calls the buds out of the tree. I mean, there is such subtle interaction and connectivity that's in nature, that every time I learn something like that, I'm astounded. Because the minute I read it in her letter, it was like my whole body said, yes, of course that's true. Every animal who lives with a human has their particular purpose for being with us. Often they're here as a mirror to reflect stuff within us that we need to clean up. Sometimes they're here as a spiritual teacher. I remember one client, one time this gal called up and she said, I need you to talk to One of my cats, I have two, but one of them has been following me around for weeks, meowing and meowing, and I don't know what she's trying to tell me. I didn't know anything about this woman. I tuned in with her cat, you know, tuning in. I made the telepathic connection. And the cat said, fantastic, somebody who can understand me. Quick, take this down. Cat had just been bursting with things she wanted to say. And so she didn't want me to do anything but write notes. Just she had to get it out fast. So I wrote it down. And what it was a set of four or five things that she wanted her human to start doing on a regular basis, one of which was meditation. And most of these things were spiritually related. So I didn't know, again, didn't know anything about the woman. Turns out she was very spiritually awake. She was taking courses with someone who was a trans channel, and she was very excited to get all this information. This is why I say I have to trust what the animal tells me and just say it. So that was really great, and she was very pleased. And then a few months later, she called me back. Her cat was walking around the house, staring up at the ceiling and meowing. Same cat. So she was really eager to know what the cat was doing. And again, I tuned in with the cat, and the cat said, oh, this is great. I'm so glad she called you. I've been trying to get her to call you. Animals will, by the way, try to drop hints into our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What the cat was doing was she was seeing angels.
Sure.
And she kept trying to get her human's attention. So the woman's going, okay, great. I will pay greater attention. And then she wrote me a note afterward and said, I can see the angels now. It was just fantastic. But animals will give you all kinds of hints about all kinds of things, sometimes by their outward behavior, sometimes with telepathic messages. One of my cats, actually I have two Siamese, but one of them who's been with me for four lifetimes now, this is her fourth time around that I know about in my current life, her name is Violet, and she has this attitude that I need to pay attention, and she's my supervisor, and she's going to tell me what I need to be doing. And she's always been like this. So they really do come in with purposes. She's here to run my life. This is what she believes.
So
there are animals like that. And then there are others who feel that they're there to be your protector. And some feel they're there to remind humans about divine love.
I would say that the vast majority of people listening to this show would probably say that they can't conceive of the fact that their animals might have picked them and that they, in fact, picked the animals. What would you say to those people?
Well, I wouldn't want to be rude, but I would kind of chuckle a little bit inside because it's been my experience that there's a two-way process here. You don't just pick the animal. The animal doesn't just pick you. I knew a minister one time who used to talk about the great coincidence center in the sky. That's how he phrased it.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, it's my feeling that before we take a specific life, we make a lot of decisions on the soul plane. And those decisions involve who's going to be our parents and the other significant people in our lives and what are the main lessons we're going to learn and the key experiences. And this includes the animals. Who's going to come to us? My horse, Echo, told me we've been together for thousands of lives. So this is what I have seen. And I have a lot of clients. People call me because an animal is sick and dying. They want help with that process. And then they may want to follow up when the animal is in spirit and talk to the animal about, you know, did I do it all right? And this helps them with their grieving process to a very large degree. But many times they just want to talk to an animal in spirit because they want the animal to come back. And sometimes the animal says, okay, I'll come back. And sometimes their soul has, you know, they have other things that they're going to go experience. But when the animal says, yes, I'm coming back, immediately the person wants to know, well, okay, so what kind of an animal are you going to be? And are you male or female? And what color? And where am I going to find you? And what I find is that the animals do not fill in all those details because they want us to learn to trust our own intuition, to learn to follow our own guidance, to be open to the signal, to ask for help, and then be responsive to the help that we get. And so they're teaching, even in that. Sometimes people get very discouraged by that, and what I say to them is, all right, this animal, this beautiful friend of yours who was just here with you in a physical form and has just left, think back to how you found that animal in the first place. And usually they have a story of, I was doing such and such, it was unexpected, or I decided I wanted a puppy. Whatever the story is, they went somewhere, they saw the animal, and then they say to me, quote unquote, I just knew. Well, how did you just know? You just know. Knowing is an intuitive sense. It's part of telepathic ability. when you look into someone's eyes and there's that sense of you know them. You don't know how you know them, but no, this is the right animal to be with you. It's not an accident.
Well, no, nothing
it's
is
not
an accident, huh?
Yeah. It's planned.
Correct.
So if you found each other before when you were not conscious of all this stuff, what makes you think that isn't going to happen now? And in all the years I've been doing this, I only know of one instance when my client was not able to find the animal. And this was someone whose pet was a goose, which is a more unusual pet in our culture. And apparently there was a very small number of geese being born in the area where she was living. And her friend in spirit said, I wasn't able to come back at this time. And offered to come back as a cat. And the woman said, no, I really loved you as a goose. I want you to be a goose. So I don't know how that ever, if that ever resolved in some other way. There must have been some kind of reason why that didn't quite work out. But every time. And it's not always that they come back in the same form.
Which would bring up the question, can you communicate with any animal, any type of animal, or every type of animal?
I haven't found one yet that I couldn't.
That is unbelievable.
And so, that includes microorganisms such as bacteria. That includes insects of all kinds. But one of the most amazing experiences I had was a woman called, her son was 8, I think. He had a pet tarantula. Now, that's not the kind of pet that I would choose to have. And I'm not really thrilled about what spiders look like.
Yeah.
But what the woman said to me was that her son and she felt that the tarantula was dying of old age. They usually stop eating and then they just go. And she wanted her son to have the opportunity to say goodbye. So I agreed to do the session, not knowing at all what this would be like. And I will describe for you that when I first make a connection with an animal, I can actually feel their energy. Very, you know, within my energy field, very close to my face, usually about 6 inches from my face, and I see an image of them. So they tend to come in really close, unless they're scared of strangers, in which case they're way in the distance, usually hiding behind something. But anyway, there is an energy shift that I can feel. Well, this tarantula came right in. I was blown away. The energy of that being was so beautiful, nurturing, mothering, kind, gentle. She was so appreciative of everything that family had done to take care of her, and especially of that little boy. She really had a connection with him. I would never have expected that of an insect. You know, all my clients teach me all the time.
Isn't that the truth about life?
Yes.
Today we're talking to Netta Wittels about the importance of animals, their roles, function, and purpose in our lives. Netta is a world-renowned animal communicator. She can be found on her website, raysofhealinglight.com. So when you go to a zoo, are your chakras blown?
I don't go to zoos anymore for that reason. And actually, I don't go into rescue facilities either.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to help with animals that are in a rescue situation. But I find one of my most powerful ways of receiving is emotion. I'm a very strong empath. And I've gotten to the point in my life where I just can't tolerate cruelty, meanness, all of the pain that we inflict on each other as well as on animals. So there are certain places I just don't go. But if somebody who's a volunteer at that kind of facility wants help with an animal, I can work with them over the phone. I don't have to be with the animals. And as long as I have a description of the animal and a name or a photograph or the person's just holding the animal, I can make a connection and we can have a conversation. I create very sacred space for myself in my home and my office so that I'm in a quiet place. Because the messages are coming in subtly. I mean, animal communication is different in the sense that you don't usually hear them talking, like, outside of you. Although I did once have an experience like that with my horse, which I'll save for a little later here. But it's very subtle messages, little feelings, and I guess subtle is the only word I can think of. So I need to be in a quiet space. If I'm in a place where there's a lot of noise, and I have done in the past, years ago I used to do psychic fairs or things like that, it's just so much harder to focus and to blot out all the external noise. So I prefer to work that way. I rarely, if ever, go to people's homes. I don't need to. I mean, I can't travel to Australia and to South Africa and to Europe to South America or Canada or halfway across the United States, and I don't need to. And that's what's really beautiful about this. Telepathy is possible, and it's instantaneous. It doesn't matter where you are.
Getting back to your scenario about being out in nature, so how would you suggest that people reframe some of the experiences they would have? For example, you're walking in nature and you see a deer. You are camping and you run across a bear. You have a snake cross your path, or you see a dead snake in the middle of the road. You might have a bird's nest in your yard. How can people start not only paying attention to it, but learning from this and taking this as a sign? Do I have this correct?
Well, it can be understood at a number of different levels. First of all, in the Native American tradition, every animal who passes by that you become aware of is sending you a message.
Do you believe that?
Bringing you a message, let's put it that way.
Do you believe that?
Yes, at some level I do.
Okay.
I've had some unusual animals show up at my house. I had a heron, which is a very large, tall bird, and usually likes to be around water, show up on my lawn one day, and I'm not near a lake. I mean, you know, there's not a, I mean, not within walking distance. While I was teaching a course in animal communication to two women, and the heron had a message for these women, and it was practically looking in my front window. I mean, that's not a very typical thing. So if something unusual happens like that, then usually, you know, I would suggest that that's time for you to consider that that animal has a message for you. There are a set of cards called medicine cards, which are Native American and come with a very lovely book. And that's one way that people can start working with understanding what some animals mean from a species level, you know, because animals have different behaviors and that are species specific. And so they do represent certain ways of thinking, certain archetypes. But you can also speak with an animal who comes and ask them questions. This spring, I had some very unusual animals showing up in my yard.
What
we
type?
Had, here in New England, a very, very cold, very, very long winter with huge amounts of snow. And around the time when it would normally have been spring and the animals were waking up, there were still huge amounts of snow and not the food supply that would normally have been there for them. And so I had a possum show up eating under the bird feeder. And I had a coyote wander through the backyard looking really unhealthy. And I think I saw a deer and in any event. So, you know, sometimes I just give thanks and honor the animal for coming. For example, I know that deer are my power animal. So whenever I see one, I thank them and ask them if there's anything they want to say to me. For me, I know the deer represents gentleness. And so I remind myself that maybe there's a part of my life where I need to be a little more gentle or more gentle with myself. But you can also actually have a conversation with a specific animal. Now, last fall, there was a bobcat in my yard, and I've never seen a bobcat in nature.
Mm-hmm.
This was one big pussycat.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it at dawn, which is around the time I get up in the morning. So the sun wasn't even up yet, and this animal was sitting right on the edge of my back lawn, which is, goes into the woods, and I was just so taken with it. All I could do was sit there for a while and look at this big cat. Now, I have cats in the house, and they're all sitting there looking at this big cat, too. And then it finally dawned on me to get the camera, and so I just kept snapping photos like a maniac, and ended up with something like 90 pictures. And finally, the sun did come up, and I could see the face. This was a magnificent, gorgeous cat. I never actually spoke with the cat. I was just so in awe of the beauty of it. And sometimes that's the message. Just connect with the beauty of nature and just let it flow through you. What I did do, though, was I put a blog post on one of my websites and invited other people who might want to talk to this cat to do so. And a gal named Leslie shared the following, which I think is worth sharing with all of you. She spoke with the bobcat and said, "He talked to me about the role of big cats in maintaining certain frequencies for the rest of the world's felines, such as majesty, courage, magnificence, and honor. These frequencies are then available to the others. He says the lions, for instance, are feeling much pressure, and their gradual loss is having its effect on other felines at a soul level. Bobcats vibrate the frequency of serenity. They are the gently twinkling diamonds in the crown of the feline species. They're very much in the game and are aware of how humans are creating great imbalances in areas of the world. They can feel this over distances. And the bobcat's message was to stay centered. Quote, we feel that to hold your own natural vibration in whatever circumstances is enough. So this cat clearly had a message to give. It just didn't give it to me because I was just into the awesomeness of this gorgeous cat. But I got what I needed by having the bobcat there. I mean, that's what I was meant to get from it. And then this gal shared this beautiful conversation.
I have had a number of animal sightings in my lifetime. I am not so much an animal lover, which is not to say that I don't appreciate and love certain animals, but I've never been particularly drawn to them, although I am acutely aware of their presence around me. But I have had so many experiences. Bobcat run in front of our car, bears, sightings during multiple camping trips, eagle sightings, red-tailed hawks. And I try to take the message in whatever way I can. But I also have repetitive experiences. I have birds fly in front of my car all the time, all the time. And I've done all my readings, so I try to figure out which way are they flying, and which direction did they fly in a particular day. Was I stressed? Am I moving too quickly? Whatever. But I have these experiences that I don't seem to find a framework for. For example, birds fly in front of my car all the time. And I would say in the last 6 months, they've nearly hit my car. And I would say probably 5 to 7 a week. For the last several years, whenever I'm traveling, mostly in a car, I can always look up and see some sort of hawk, which may be circling peripherally to my car, but then as it comes close to my car, it swings over my car. And then when I look in the rearview mirror, 70 to 80% of the time it's gone. I'm not missing the signs, but I do wonder, what is the message here?
Well, I'm going to give you my intuitive guess, because without talking to any of these birds in particular, I don't know that I could be 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I would ask you to just check in with yourself and see how this resonates. What I'm getting is, slow down and pay attention to nature.
I'm sorry, did you say slow down?
Slow down.
Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. Okay, slow down. I wasn't sure.
You know, you're driving the car and you're watching the bird. I mean,
yes, yes.
But I think that is the point.
Yes.
I mean, that's the first thing I got, and I felt it right in my heart area. And
slow down.
Slow down and pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's so many different species, and they're coming at you all the time, it's like the whole universe is aligning with getting this message through to you. That's how it feels energetically to me.
That's interesting. And I have, now that you're saying it, I have had multiple dreams of being in almost like wildlife sanctuaries and seeing multiple animals just roaming around me. Slow down.
Well,
that's a novel
the first
thought.
Part. It's slow down and connect.
And connect, yeah.
That's the second part is as important as the first, and especially it's very hard to connect if you don't slow down.
Yeah.
And that's true for everyone, not just you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, no, seriously.
No, I know.
I mean, you know, I'm in a human form, so I have some of the same challenges that other human beings have. And I've had occasions when I have, you know, and this is true for a lot of animal communicators. It's really easy to talk to somebody else's animals about their stuff and the other person and the person's stuff. When it's your own stuff and your own animals, it is not easy.
Sure.
it's just like the same thing. It, you know, it's easy to give your girlfriend advice about her relationship with her boyfriend.
Sure.
And not so easy to figure out what's going on with you and your boyfriend.
Sure. And I'm reminded of, you know, reading the story of Sylvia Brown, the psychic who died a few years ago, who was adamantly telling the world that she knew exactly what age she would die at and of what illness, and neither turned out to be true. And the naysayer said, you see, you can never work on yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, I think you can work on yourself in the spiritual sense of cleaning up your issues and becoming more aligned with your own higher guidance. But in terms of predictions, part of being in a human form is not knowing. We're not supposed to know certain things. That's part of why we take on this form, because that's when the veil of illusion, I guess they call it, the veil of forgetfulness, comes down. And this is why, you know, I go back to the point I made earlier about the animals wanting to help us remember what divine love feels like and how to love ourselves. Animals put up with so much from human beings on this planet. It amazes me that any spirit would choose to be a cow, a sheep, a horse, a chicken. We are so heartless and cruel, not because we eat meat, but because of the way we treat these animals, the way we kill them, the way we raise them, and yet they keep coming.
Well, yes. We're sort of winding down in time, but I'm wondering if over your decades of experience, you have one or two experiences you would like to quickly share, experiences you had with animals which either profoundly changed you or your client.
Well, there's lots of them, actually, but I'm going to try to pick out just one or two that are really powerful. I was once called by a gentleman who had two female dogs that were mixed breeds that had been together for years and had always been really, really close. And the reason he was calling me was that these two dogs had started fighting and were tearing each other to shreds, blood all over the place, lots of trips to the veterinarian. He went to dog trainers. He went everywhere he could think of. And finally, someone said, you need an animal communicator. So this fellow, who I didn't know at the time, but found out later that he was retired from the military and hadn't been into all this woo-woo stuff, out of desperation, called me. And the first thing I do in a session is I usually ask for a little background information, like, when did this start and what was going on around the same time? Because the animals are not separate from other things that are going on in our lives. And he told me that his daughter had come for a visit, and she had brought a male dog that she had adopted to stay with her. And I don't remember how long she was there. It doesn't really matter. But in the course of her visit, one of the female dogs got very attached to the male dog, and the other one became jealous. Now, he didn't tell me about the attachment and the jealousy. That's what the dogs told me. And as I was talking with these dogs and describing to him everything that I was experiencing, he started seeing them doing exactly what I was describing. Like, at one point, I was trying to negotiate a kind of a forgiveness and settlement between the two dogs, and one of them walked out. I said, well, this one's going away. And he said, yeah, she just walked into the other room. she's decided to come back. Yeah, she just turned around and decided to come back.
Wow.
I mean, step by step, he could see all of this, which is not typical, by the way. Lots of times animals don't physically act things out before your eyes. But in this case, that's what happened. And finally, in my mind's eye, I saw one dog go over and lick the ear of the other dog. And he said, she hasn't done that since they started fighting, but she used to do this all the time. The two dogs made up, and that was the end of it. So that one kind of blew me away, because when he told me afterward that he had, you know, was retired from the military and that this was a whole new thing for him, I just thought, well, those dogs were really teaching, weren't they? I mean, they were working out their own stuff, obviously. But they were giving both the fellow and me a powerful lesson in how to resolve conflict. You don't need war to resolve conflict.
That must have resonated with him greatly, huh?
He wrote me this long letter thanking me and telling me how astonished he was by the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that, and this was not with a client, this was just in my own life. My cat, Violet, this is her fourth time with me in her current life. And actually, she's going to be 16 in August.
Mazel tov.
She's Well, considering she didn't want to stay past the age of 7, I'm really thrilled that she's made it this far.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But in any event, she taught me the power of reincarnation. In her lifetime previous to this one, I found her through some other people. She was an abandoned cat. She was Siamese, and she'd been abandoned. And somebody found her, and she was half-starved. And she came to me and immediately let me know that she was another cat that I had had some years before, that I had had to leave behind because of things that changed in my life. And she was only with me 4.5 years in the lifetime before this. With all that had gone on in her abandonment and starvation, and she was just not very healthy. And no matter what I did, I just couldn't restore health to her body. And it's not really my job to do that. We can only do what we can do, and then they either can restore health or not. But what was amazing to me was after she left, she went into spirit, and about 5 days later, she showed up energetically and said, I want to come back. And being my supervisor, she began to supervise. I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to be this, and we're going to go here. I mean, this is what everybody else would like to experience, but that's not the way it works most of the time. In any event, she did this all very, very quickly. And instead of going through the normal birth process, she walked into the body of an 8-week-old kitten. So even though she and I had picked out her mother and I had this agreement with the cattery, she shows up, suddenly there's a personality change in a kitten. And the people, fortunately, at this cattery were open to spiritual things, and so they just figured, you know what, we're just going to call Netta. So I talked to the kitten, and she says, come and get me. They want to give me to somebody else and hurry up and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
I get her home. Okay. And I'm still grieving her death. And there she is playing. And I had to shift inside myself and say, there's no death.
Amazing.
Different forms and out of forms.
Yes.
That was the message.
What one message would you like to leave our listeners with today? What simple message?
The animals teach me the ultimate truth that we are all one consciousness. Telepathic communication couldn't possibly work if that were not so. All of your animals are part of you, and you are part of them. And when we know that we're all one, then we will have true peace in our hearts.
We've been talking today to world-renowned animal communicator Netta Wittels about the importance of animals, their roles, function, and purpose in our lives. She can be found at our website, raysofhealinglight.com. Netta, we could have talked for hours.
I
think we just scratched the surface.
Thank you so much for inviting me to do this. This has been so much fun.
So much fun on my part, too. And I really hope we've opened the eyes, ears, hearts, and minds of some of the listeners today.
I hope so, too, because there's just a wealth of love and energy that the animals want to give everyone. Only we open ourselves to it.
And my love to you.
And my love to you.
Thank you. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is WESU Middletown, 88.1 FM on your dial. And until next time, I hope you take care.
It seems